Before looking at the scripture readings with you, just a quick encouragement for all of you who will be here for our Christmas masses. And I know this is something you've heard over the years, but you know, at Christmas we'll have so many guests and visitors with us. Some of them may be here with you, but the parking lot will be a bit chaotic, and the pews that you're used to having here, kind of as the ones that everyone knows that you sit in, will probably be occupied by other people. And in the midst of all of that, with all of the different guests and visitors that we'll have here, it's an opportunity for us to be able to show them just as much love and warmth and kindness as we can. A lot of those people who maybe are not here with us normally may be looking for a spiritual home. And what we want to be able to do is show them that the message of God's love, which is such a beautiful part of Christmas, that love is real, and that we're hoping that the Lord will pour it out on the world around us through us. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're going to be here with us for Christmas Mass and not traveling, just to be on the lookout for those who may need a little bit of help navigating the campus, those who don't know the difference from where the church is versus the parish activity center, those who don't know where the restrooms are, or those for whom you could just scooch in just a little bit in the pews to make room for them. They're little things, but they're a really beautiful way of saying to the guest and the visitor that this love that we proclaim in the Lord, it's real, and we want other people to experience it. And hopefully for those who are searching for a spiritual home, perhaps just because of their experience with us at Christmas, that might give them a little bit of a nudge to want to put down some roots here at St. John's with us. So I just want to give you that encouragement as we get ready to prepare for the beauty and a little bit of the chaos of Christmas. Now, let's take a look at the readings here. And remember, during these days of Advent, the Lord has been wanting to stir up in us a real profound and very powerful hope. Remember, what he's wanting to say to us, what he is saying to us, is that through all of these different prophecies that we're hearing, he's saying to us, I'm not done yet. I'm not finished yet. Everything that you've been hearing through the prophets over these weeks of Advent that talk about the great work that I want to do, the Lord has been saying to us, until I'm able to accomplish that in you, I'm not done working yet. And it's a way that he's trying to stir up our hearts and put us in a place where we have a real expectant faith, where we are able to say, Lord, I believe that these areas of my life that I know are not the way that you want them to be, these areas in my life where I've not yet fully experienced your love or your power to heal, I believe, Lord, that you can get into those areas and that you want to. You know, that our life is not off limits, that the Lord is still at work. So that's the main thing that the Lord wants to do every Advent, because the Lord is alive and he's wanting to come more fully into our lives. So we had that the first couple early weeks of Advent. Last week, in the midst of that call to hope, we were able to ask the Lord through the gospel reading the question, Lord, how do we hope even when what we're expecting you to do happens differently? Or how do we hold on to hope even in the midst of just the struggles? Like when life is going in a totally different way and it's hard to hope, what then? We looked at that last week through John the Baptist. In prison and not far from his death, John, who had pointed out Jesus as the Messiah just a couple years earlier, he asks the question of Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? And remember, we don't know what was going on fully inside of John, but we know he was in a difficult enough place that he asked that question. And I love the scriptures because they're so honest. And even as the Lord is saying, I want you to have hope, we're able to say back to him, But Lord, what do we do when it's hard? What do we do when we're in a dark place like John? Now tonight, again through the gospel, we can ask the Lord the question, Lord, we hear you telling us that you want us to hope and really expect that you're going to be at work. And you're telling us that you want us to open up our hearts and let you in. But how do we do that when there's fear at work that holds us back, that keeps us from being willing to open up our hearts fully to you? You know, in all of the great pieces of the Christmas story, when the Lord comes to Zechariah, that's the father of John the Baptist, he says to him, "Do not be afraid." That's in the Gospel of Luke. When the Lord comes to Mary, a little bit later in the Gospel of Luke, the Lord says to Mary, "Do not be afraid." Tonight in the Gospel of Matthew, when Matthew is visited by the Lord through an angel in a dream, it's the same thing. He says to Matthew, or says to Joseph rather, he says, "Do not be afraid." Over and over again, this is the message that the Lord has to us. And I love it because when the Lord says to us, "Do not be afraid," part of that is the Lord saying to us, "I know that you're afraid. I know what's going on inside of your heart. I know the things that are going on that make it difficult for you to be able to open up your heart fully to me, to trust me." And so this is a beautiful thing that these major characters in the whole Christmas story, there's enough fear in them that the Lord says to them, and these are the greats, "Do not be afraid." And I think we can take comfort in that, because we all know there are fears that we ourselves struggle with. And those fears are a little bit different for each of us. And we'll talk about some of the general ones in just a second. But before that, let's just take a look at St. Joseph here in the passage tonight. Because Joseph, too, needed to hear the Lord say to him, "Do not be afraid." What could he have been afraid of? Well, just go into the passage here. Now, St. Matthew, he clues us in on the fact that Mary is with child by way of the Holy Spirit. Like, that's insider information that we already know. But Joseph doesn't know that. All that Joseph knows is Mary is with child. And so when he comes to find that out, we're told this, that she was found with child. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. That is, just quietly break off the betrothal. Don't take her out into court and denounce her publicly. Just quietly break it all off. And there are a couple things to notice here. We're told that Joseph is a righteous man. Now, whenever Scripture says of someone, "That's a righteous man," that is about the highest praise that you could give to someone. It means, here is a man who loves the Lord. Here is a man who's walking uprightly. Here is a man who is not looking to take shortcuts in his life to get what he wants. Here is a man who loves God, the Lord his God, with everything he's got, who loves his neighbor as himself, who cherishes the law the Lord's given him. It's the highest praise that you could give to someone in the Old Testament is to say of that person, "That is a righteous man." This is how God in his own word describes Joseph. So when Joseph finds out that Mary is with child, he's not looking to do whatever is just best or most convenient for him, for himself. When you know, he takes this to prayer. He doesn't take it lightly. And so we know, because he is this righteous man, that he's thinking hard about this in his heart. What do I do? What is the right thing for me to do? And we're told here that He made the decision, he decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention. In the Greek, it means kind of like the deep and kind of well-pondered decision of his heart. He had considered this prayerfully at a long stretch and made a decision. And remember, this is a good man who wrestles with this and makes a decision. Now, this is what I admire so much about St. Joseph. He makes the decision, and he makes it prayerfully. He makes the decision that he believes is the absolute best thing, not just for himself, but for everyone involved. And then, after having already arrived at that decision, only then does the Lord come to him in a dream through the angel and say to him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home." In other words, he's saying to Joseph, "Joseph, I know that you made a decision, and I know that you were praying about that. At the time, I didn't give you all the details, but now here's the deal. Do not be afraid to make a different decision, because Mary is with child through the Holy Spirit." And this is, like, you wonder, Lord, why did you wait that late to let Joseph know? I mean, he's a good man. Why did you not let him know earlier on? I mean, why did he not get to find out when Mary found out? That would seem fair. But why put him through that? And I think part of what's going on here is that it's like the Lord, he knows Joseph is capable of an even bolder and greater faith. So he puts Joseph in a place where that faith is going to be given a chance to really be stretched. I know that you made a decision already, but do not be afraid to lay that decision to the side and trust me, not based on what you've come up with on your own, but with what I'm revealing to you through the angel. I mean, I think this is maybe kind of in the category of what the Lord did with Abraham centuries earlier when he asked Abraham if he would be willing to sacrifice his beloved son, Isaac. The Lord loves Joseph, and he wants him to grow even more in his faith and trust. But that happens when we are ready to overcome fear and step out of the boat, kind of with another image like Peter, and say, "Lord, I trust you." And he does that for Joseph. And Joseph responds. So we're told at the end of the passage that when Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. So all of that began when the Lord said to Joseph, "Do not be afraid." So for us, you know, everything hinges on this. There's so much the Lord wants to do in our life. There's so many good and great things he wants to accomplish in us, ways that he wants his power to be made known. But so often, fear paralyzes us. It causes us to hesitate, and we keep the door closed to the Lord, and his power, his grace, can only get in and do so much because we keep it at bay. So on this last Sunday of Advent, I think the Lord is wanting to say to us, as he did to Joseph, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Whatever your biggest fear is right now about you letting me more into your life, the Lord says, don't let that fear win. But be ready to trust me. Be ready to step out and believe that I'm good. I love you. That I'm with you. That you can trust me. What are some of the fears? Well, some of the most typical ones often tend to be, for a lot of people, the fear of giving up control of their life. I like to be the one who's in charge of my life. I don't want anyone else to be in control of it. And so for a lot of us, we fear giving God more control over our life. And for some of you, this is a big one, because not only are you good at controlling your own life, but you may be good at controlling other people's lives. A spouse, a child, a coworker. You like to manage the situation because it keeps you from being in a place of fearfully not knowing what may come. But if that's you, the Lord says, don't be afraid. For other people, the fear can be just the fear of the unknown. I don't know what God will ask of me if I give him more room. And so just the unknown can keep us from saying yes to the Lord. For other people, there's a fear that if I say yes to God, life is simply not going to be as fulfilling as I want it to be. This is the lie of the enemy from the beginning, that to say yes to God means that we're going to end up living life as a slave, a more restricted life. It will not be fulfilling. It won't be fun. And who wants that? So why would I say yes to a boring life? So that there can be a fear there. For other people as well, there can be a fear, Lord, if I say yes, what if I can't live it out? What if I fail? What if I fall? What if I continue to struggle with sin? What then? And I would just say to all of you that the Lord, he's worthy of our trust. And his word to us is the word he spoke to Joseph. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So I don't know what your biggest fear is. You do. And you can probably immediately, you've already called it to mind. But that fear, if it's allowed to stay in control of our heart, it will become that wedge that keeps us from being in that close union with the Lord that we were made for. So the best thing I think we can do is to give it over to the Lord, and especially here at Mass, to do that as we feed on his body and his blood. To bring the fear to that greatest love that the world's ever known. The gift of the Lord Jesus given up on the cross for us and then given to us in Holy Communion. St. John in one of his letters says, perfect love casts out all fear. And that doesn't mean that we love perfectly and therefore the fear is gone. It means first that he has loved us perfectly. And coming to experience that perfect love, we are filled with a boldness because of that love that lets us not allow the fear to reign and rule over us. Tonight, let's bring whatever that one biggest fear is to the Lord and pray that as we feed on his body and blood tonight, that perfect love that we receive from the Lord Jesus will cast out all fear and put us in that perfect place as we approach Christmas.